Glory to you, O Lord. Now the birth of the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be pregnant from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to divorce her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had given birth to a son. And he named him Jesus. The Gospel of the Lord. Now the genesis of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. That is another way you could translate the beginning sentence of our gospel today. It's an echo of the beginning of the whole gospel of Matthew, just 17 verses earlier, which could be read the book of the Genesis of Jesus Christ. Each of those readings very deliberately points us back to the first book of the Bible, Genesis, the beginning of the whole story that we as human beings are caught up in. A story of the God whose Spirit moved over the chaotic nothingness and God spoke, bringing order and purpose out of the chaos. A story of God spinning the universe and all that exists into being. A story of stars and galaxies, of atoms and particles, of whales and redwoods, of earthworms and amoebas, and of God looking at all of creation, at the interwoven systems, laws, habitats that came into being, and God called it all good. And then God created human beings, creatures unlike the rest, having something the rest didn't, the image of God. Each of us having something of God about us. Our intellect, our ability to create. And with that power came responsibility, stewardship of creation, of land and sea, of animals and plants, of one another, on behalf of God. And boundaries came with it. Eat anything you want, just not of this one tree. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This discernment is God's alone. If you eat of that tree, you will die. But those first humans were tempted. Did not trust God. Doubted God's wisdom. Thought too highly of their own wisdom. And so they ate of that tree. And ever since, have time and again deferred to their own understanding of what is good and what is bad. Have decided that they, not God, has final say as to what is life-giving and what is life-taking. And ever since, sin has ruled human hearts. The sin of pride, of thinking that we can be God, of thinking that our wisdom is wiser than God's wisdom. Sin that ruptures relationship between us and God, between us and our fellow human beings, and us and the creation that we are to steward. Sin that leads us and so many things in creation to nothing but ultimate death, destruction. Now, the readers of Matthew's gospel were probably Jewish Christians. They would have heard and understood this callback to Genesis early in the writing of this gospel. They would have known the stories of Genesis and also of the Hebrew Bible, how time and again God came down to God's beloved people, tried to guide them back into right relationship with God, with each other, with creation, through prophets, judges, kings, through the law. And that each time, humans went astray, sinned, trusted in their own wisdom, not trusting God. The genesis of the Messiah took place in this way. Matthew's gospel begins by answering a very pertinent question. Who is Jesus? It was written to a community who were living some 50 to 60 years after Jesus' death and resurrection. It's about the same distance as us back to 1965 or 75. They had no firsthand knowledge and could not help wondering, who is this Jesus? And Matthew's telling them, Jesus is the one in whom God has made a new beginning. The genesis of the anointed one of God took place in this way. Here is how God's new beginning has broken into the world. Jesus, whose name means God saves, who Matthew says will save his people from their sins, that age-old enemy from the time of Adam and Eve. Jesus, who is also called Emmanuel, God with us. One commentator noted that for Matthew, God with us does not comment on Jesus' essence, relationship to the Trinity, or any of that, but it says something about his function. Jesus is God down here among us. God come to us again. Because we've seen this before, prophets, judges, or have we? Perhaps God has upped the ante in Jesus. Who is this Jesus? He is of divine origin. Mary is with child from the Holy Spirit. His names show that he will save his people from their sin. That he is God with us. God's visible presence among us. The best way to know who God is. Jesus is the one who authoritatively reveals to us God's will for the world. God's love for the world. God's judgment on the world as it is now. Jesus is the one who will save us from the fate of our ancestors who have trapped us in sin. That which separates us from God, from each other, from creation, because we too trust our own discernment about what is good and what is evil more than we trust God's. In this Jesus, we see who God really is. If you go back to the very beginning of the Gospel of Matthew, it starts with a genealogy for Jesus. And if you read through that listing, you see that God works through both Jews and Gentiles. You have Ruth, Tamar, and Bathsheba listed there. God works through both righteous people and sinners, David, Rahab, Manasseh. All of these, Jews and Gentiles, righteous and sinners, are present in that way in Jesus. In this Jesus, we will meet God's compassion as He heals those who are wounded in mind and body. We will meet God's love that conquers the world with arms wide open, not fists put up to fight. We will meet God's forgiveness that comes time and time again, even 70 times, 7 times. In Jesus, we will meet the God of steadfast love and faithfulness that the Hebrew Scriptures bears witness to. In this Jesus, we will be challenged to turn the other cheek, to love even our enemies, to not just speak of faith, but to live it in word, in deed, in daily life, to be what God has already called us to be, beloved children. This is what God with us looks like. It's not bluster, condemnation, gloating. It's not smug self-righteousness nor conquering power. God with us looks like a man who will calm the storms in our lives, who is trustworthy to follow along the way, who loves us so much He will suffer the painful and humiliating death on the cross, so that we might be freed from sin and death. That is who Jesus is. And that is what God looks like. God with us looks like us being sent to proclaim with our very lives the good news of God come down to us in Jesus. It looks like the joy and the trials of true fellowship. It will be messy and wonderful. It will be imperfect and challenging. It will be free. It is life fuller and more abundant than anything that we could do on our own. Friends, on this fourth Sunday of Advent, as we prepare to welcome the Son of God again for the first time, we are guided by these four candles, which we have named in our banners, knowing that in Emmanuel lies our hope, hope that is promise carried into the future, knowing that in Emmanuel alone can we truly find peace. Peace that is so much more than just the absence of conflict, but that is wholeness. A calm that no storm can shake. Knowing that in Emmanuel lies our joy. Joy that literally in the language is rooted in God's grace. That is an uplifting of spirit, even in times of sorrow and pain, of failure and humiliation. But most of all, Emmanuel is love. as the Gospel of John reminds us, God come down is a visible sign of God's love for this world, that God's desire for the world is not judgment and condemnation, but to love and to save it. All of it, peoples and creatures, to love and to save you. This is the Jesus who comes to you. God with us, who we will walk with in the year ahead, who is the only hope for your life, because to follow any other way will surely only lead to death. And in just a few days, we will meet him in a newborn child, helpless, vulnerable, awe-inspiring. Our God, creator of all that exists, come down to us. Little old us. Us imperfect, messy, sinful, fearfully and wonderfully made, beloved of God. Come to us, so that we might live. Thanks be to God.